Unity.com.
It was exactly like that. Otis has a really good way of making sure that I don't know what's coming before he gets up and does this. One, so that I can laugh too and not know what's coming, but two, I think he's afraid I'd pull the plug. No, just kidding. So, yeah, last week we began our life-changing conversation series and we talked about noticing. That was really one of the keys. And for each week of this series, I just encourage you, we really try to get the message up immediately after our worship gathering. So if you ever miss, go ahead and jump on online at porticocommunity.com or go to Portico Church or Portico Oshkosh of iTunes. You can listen to the message pretty quickly afterwards. If there's ever a week that you're not here, you can stay along with where we're going. Each of these weeks in the Life-Changing Conversation series, they build upon one another to a certain degree, but they also they're also just different aspects that can really help us engage in life-changing conversations. I hope that it's in a very practical way that it helps us in just our everyday conversations that we have with people, but particularly our hope is that these things help us engage in life-changing conversations of spiritual nature, that we have the opportunity to share Jesus with people along the way. So that's why we're in this series and why it's so important here at Portico. So we're diving in. Now, last week we talked about noticing. This week, week two, we're talking about praying or prayer, okay? This is probably one of the single most important weeks of the whole series because of the nature of what prayer is all about. But I've asked this before, but if you were to describe prayer, when you hear the word prayer, what words come to mind for you? You know, you have a notes page there just for you. If you have a word that comes to mind when you think about prayer, jot it down in that blank. Prayer is blank, okay? I mean, hopefully it's not prayer is blank. That would be bad. That would be a negative. But is there something? Prayer is, what is it for you? You know, maybe that word that you put in is easy. Prayer is easy. Comes naturally to me. I love to pray. Maybe it's prayer is difficult. Maybe it's prayer is life-giving or hard work. Maybe it's exciting. Prayer is exciting. Prayer is confusing. Prayer is frustrating. Maybe you felt like prayer is this mysterious thing. And I can get that. I understand that. I know how that feels sometimes. We don't understand exactly how prayer works all the time. Sometimes we pray for something and it happens. Like God brings it about. Sometimes we pray for something and it doesn't happen. Sometimes we pray for we don't pray for something and it happens anyway. You know, sometimes we don't pray for something and then we wonder if it would have been different had we prayed, or had we prayed harder, or if we had prayed more often. Prayer can be pretty mysterious that way. And yet prayer in its purest, simplest form is really just about communicating with God. It's about talking to God. Now, Paul writes about prayer in a letter that he wrote to Timothy, kind of his young Jedi apprentice. We want to look at that starting in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. There's just four verses. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, that's great, or it'll be on the screen. This is what Paul writes to Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, now there's a lot in there. I'm going to just really key in on two particular verses. The first one, 1 Timothy 2, 1, where it says, Paul writes, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Now, those are some odd words, not words that we use all the time. Thanksgivings, maybe we understand. Prayers, we understand. But what about the other two? Let's just work through this list of what Paul says. I urge that we pray in these ways. First of all, he says, I urge that supplications be made. And supplications is simply sharing heartfelt requests. You can understand it this way, sharing heartfelt requests. These are things we're asking for God because they come from a place of deep personal need. Right? There's something going on, and we got to take it to the Lord. A couple of days ago, I was having, I don't know, you've probably experienced this, but one of those just frustrating days where there were certain things that were not going great, and things were frustrating and disappointing, and I was just wrestling through a whole bunch of that. I don't know why it hit me all at once, but it did, and I'm battling this. And because of that, there's all kinds of unpleasant thoughts that are rolling around in my head, you know? I know that I was upset or frustrated about some things that are just petty things, not all that important, but I couldn't shake them. And, you know, finally when I just had a chance to kind of be alone, and I just stopped and prayed. I'm like, God, I had these things in my head. I don't know what's going on in my spirit, in my heart, and in my mind today, but I want to offer it to you. I just need you to take this stuff because it's not where I want my head and my heart to be. You know, it was just a moment of a heartfelt request to offer to God. And that's the idea of supplications. There's something that we need, something that we're sent, and we share this heartfelt request. Then Paul says also prayers. I urge that prayers be made. And prayers are an exchanging wishes and desires. Exchanging wishes and desires. Now, these may or may not be so heartfelt and urgent, but it's still just sharing your desires, your hopes, your dreams, your longings with God, your desires. But what I find really interesting about this is this idea of prayers is it's not just a one-way broadcast to God. Here's my longings, here's my desires, here's my hopes and my dreams, God, make them come to be. It's an exchange. It's an exchange. So we share our longings and our hopes and our dreams and our desires with God, but we also allow Him to share His longings, His dreams, His desires, His hopes for me and for you. So it's an exchange of these types of things. Because oftentimes our desires are not necessarily what God wants for us. Which kind of brings us to the third part where Paul says write about intercession or pray about intercessions. And you can understand it this way, seeking God's will to be accomplished. Seeking God's will to be accomplished. How many of you remember the movie Emperor's New Groove? Right? One, that's great. Some of you need to have a childhood over again. Come on. How many of you remember? Oh, you're all writing. I'm sorry. Do, 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 do. All right, Emperor's New Groove. Come on. Just nod your head if you can't. Yeah, okay. So a little picture here. You remember a scene where Pacha finds out that his village is going to be destroyed and or he has to leave his village. And so he goes and approaches Cuzco, the emperor, and wants to sort of straighten this thing out. And he comes in and he starts to present his case. And Cuzco's like, yeah, you're just the man for the job. I got a question for you. Tell me about this area. And he's thinking, yeah, it's great, it's great. And he answers all these questions. And Cuzco reveals to him that the big plans of why his family has to leave his land for that he's been at for hundreds of years is because Cuzco's building a water park, a little water park, a little pool in the area. And of course, Pacha's a bit upset about this, but that doesn't matter. As he kind of voices his displeasure, he's escorted from the property by some armed guards and kind of thrown out. Okay? Now, it's a funny exchange in this movie, right? But here's the thing. When it comes to an interaction with the king, especially in Jesus' day, you know, you would never want to cross him. You would never want to come with your agenda. You'd be coming to this king most likely to find out what his agenda. You'd have to tread very carefully, or you could be thrown in prison. You could lose your life. I mean, the king is that powerful. Intercession is not about going to God and just saying, hey, here's what I want, or here's what I need, kind of like the prayers we just talked about. It's about saying, God, would your will be done here? May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, like Jesus taught us to pray. So the main focus of intercession is not about getting our way. It's about understanding what the king's will is, what God's will is, and wanting that to be accomplished. And you could even add on to that idea of whether we agree with it or not. Okay, so intercession is about seeking God's will to be accomplished. And then the last thing Paul writes about is thanksgivings, which is just simply expressing gratitude. Expressing gratitude. James 1:7 says that every good gift and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father. And we have so much to be thankful for. There's so many good things that we have to be thankful for. We have God the Father to thank for it. So thanksgiving. So these are four specific things that Paul writes about or mentions here when he talks about prayers being said. So supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. But I think we can look at this in a broader way. The point is that Paul is saying this: we're supposed to pray all kinds of prayers, right? Not just one way, not just about one thing, not just one kind of approach to God, but all kinds of prayers here. Now, it's interesting that the first mention of prayer we see in the Bible is actually described at the end of Genesis, chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, here's kind of the scene, if you're unfamiliar with it. God had created all things. And Adam and Eve had this direct interaction with God. But then they chose to disobey God, and sin entered the picture. And as soon as that happened, things began to go downhill quickly. Their son, Cain, killed his brother Abel. Now other generations were born, but wickedness and evil increased over that time, and then godliness and innocence decreased. And Genesis 4:26, it says this in the second half of this verse: at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. It's like the first kind of instance we see in Scripture about this calling out to God or prayer. People saw the need for God to intervene in the world around them and began crying out to him in prayer. So in regards to this whole idea we've been talking about reaching out to other people with the hope of Christ, as we begin to better notice the people around us, we should start to see that many, if not most sometimes, are spiritually lost and far from God. They're desperate. They're spiritually desperately needing God. And our first response should be similar to what people did back then, to see that need and to call out to God, to cry out to God and ask him to intervene. We should be crying out to God on behalf of those around us. So when it comes to prayer and praying, praying is a big part of being able to engage in life-changing conversations. Now that's why, as we've been talking about, how do we get better at sharing the truth of Jesus with people around us, and why we've kind of jumped into this series, Life-Changing Conversations, there are a couple of things that we've said, hey, this is a vital behavior. Something that if we begin to incorporate into our lives, we believe God is going to bless that, God's going to work, and we're going to see an increase in our ability to have impact with people with the hope of Jesus. And so one of the things that we've mentioned to you in the past is that this is one of the vital behaviors we want to focus in on. We want to ask each person at Portico, and this is written out in your notes, nothing to write down here, to regularly pray for an opportunity to engage in one spiritual conversation each week. Okay, to regularly pray for an opportunity to engage in one spiritual conversation each week. Now, for some of you, you might look at that and go, well, that would be a scaling back of what happens. But for many of us, that's pushing it. That's like a stretch for us. Okay, so we're all at different places. But the idea is this: we're praying for God to open doors, for us to have conversations with people who don't know Christ. And I think that's kind of the big disclaimer on this, is not a spiritual conversation with your Christian friends, Right? I'm not talking about, well, I went to connection group where all the people were gathered together to talk about Jesus and I had a spiritual conversation. That's not what we're shooting for here. Now, hopefully you're doing that. And there are some times where maybe the spiritual conversation we need to have is with somebody who's in spiritual need, even though they're a follower of Jesus. Maybe it is with our family member or somebody who is already learning about Christ. But the heart of it is this. Can we be having spiritual conversations with people in our life who are far from God, who are not yet following Jesus? It's not, we're not looking to preach to the choir. We're looking about reaching out to people who need to hear the gospel message. So we're praying. We're asking each person at Portico to pray regularly for an opportunity to engage in one spiritual conversation each week. Now that seems like a pretty basic prayer. Seems like it could be accomplished very easily. You could pray that every day. Dear God, I pray for an opportunity to engage in a spiritual conversation this week. Amen. But I want to broaden that out a little bit because I think while that would be fine, and God hears that, I think there are many different aspects of what we can be praying for around this idea. Okay, so that's where we're headed here in these next few ideas. Okay, so some practical suggestions. First of all, we should be praying for the moment of opportunity, all right? That spiritual conversation, that moment, we should be praying for it, like asking God to bring it about, kind of like the vital behavior says. God, would you please bring about an opportunity this week for me to engage in a spiritual conversation, that it would actually happen, okay? So pray for the moment. The second thing is this, pray about the moment. Okay, pray about the moment. You guys are going to be going, boy, this is pretty basic, Eric. Yeah, it is, but it's important, right? Pray for that moment to happen, but pray about the moment. And here's a couple of ways we can pray about that moment. First of all, pray we would recognize it. You know, pray we would recognize it. You know, I had a moment the other day. I'm in the video store. I'll tell you the story. It's not one I'm particularly happy about, but I'm in the video store renting a movie for our family. And as we're going out the door, I hear this interaction between a group of girls and a mom who must be babysitting or something, and with one of her daughters, but the rest are not her kids. And they start talking about this movie that they're going to rent, and you kind of hear the kids, oh, no, it's fine. We can watch that movie. It's totally cool. My parents would not have a problem with anything in it, blah, blah, blah. And you start to giggle, myself and the person checking out the movie that we're renting, thinking that never goes well. That story does not have a happy ending, does it? I mean, is that going to be it? And so I kind of go out to the car, and I'm like, what? We always, with our kids, we go to a site called Common Sense Media. There's a number of them out there. But we just check on what's going on in this movie, and I looked it up. And, you know, these are like, I don't know, maybe 10, 11-year-old kids. And I looked that up, and like going, ooh, this is not probably a movie. That would be appropriate for them. Now, that would be my decision, but I thought, oh, I could simply have, now, in hindsight, I go, you know, all I would have taken is for me to say, hey, if you're unsure about this movie, there's this app, this website, can I look it up for you and let you take a look and decide? You know, just stepping into that moment, and I'm driving home going, why didn't I do that? Like, why didn't I do that? Because I didn't recognize the moment. I mean, we giggled about it, we laughed, we moved on. And then I thought about it in hindsight. So we should be praying that we recognize the moment, that we're noticing that opportunity around us. Okay, the second thing, we should be praying that we would courageously step into it. Okay, so it's one thing to notice it, but then to step into it takes a different level of courageousness. How many of you know the movie We Bought a Zoo? Okay, you should all know that. I love that movie. I own that movie. I just thought it was great. So put a little plug there, but you know, I love, one of my favorite quotes in that movie is when the dad is talking to his son and he says, you know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage and I promise you something good will happen or something great will happen. And isn't that true? So many times we have this moment right in front of us and all it really takes is for us to have a little bit of courage to step into that moment. You know, the first step is the hardest. I remember going to on our summer getaway last year. We did this like cliff diving thing. Now, when I say cliff, it's like, you know, 12 feet. But so don't get all impressed or anything. But I remember standing up on top of these rocks looking down into the water, and it's just like, okay, the first jump is going to be the hardest. Taking that step off the cliff is going to be, I just got to go, you know, and it just takes a moment of courage. You know, after that, the rest just happens naturally. Gravity kicks in, the water catches you, you're cold, you're freezing, you swim out, and then you're like, all right, do that again. That wasn't so bad. But that initial step is hard, and I think that's so much the case in our conversations. So we should be praying that when that moment comes, that we would courageously step into it. And we'll be exploring ways we can do that practically over the next few weeks without maybe feeling like we're tripping all over ourselves to do it, okay? So pray about the moment for when it comes. The third thing is pray in the moment. Pray in the moment. And here's what we kind of mean by that. Offer up a secret prayer, okay? Offer a secret prayer. You know, maybe you're heading into a situation, a conversation, an environment where you know there could be an opportunity in front of you. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. You don't have to like stop and take 20 minutes in your car to pray about it. If you can, that's great. But you know, just as you're walking through the door, be praying, God, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I know I have an important conversation with my boss in front of me. Would you just help me to be aware of the opportunity that might be there? You know, I'm working on a project with someone at work and praying, Holy Spirit, would you lead me in our conversation and help me somehow point this person towards you? In the moment, you know, maybe it's even a prayer for strength. Like you're sitting at a practice or a dance class or whatever it is, and you're going, Lord, would you please give me the strength to step into a conversation with this person to see if there's an opportunity to talk to them about you. You know, just in the moment. You might be even in the middle of a conversation. You know, maybe you've had that happen where you enter into a conversation, it seems like it's just a fairly innocent conversation, and you're talking about, I don't know, the Packer game, you're talking about your kids' sports, you're talking about work or something like that, and all of a sudden someone happens to mention, you know, that they went to this church service at their brother-in-law's, et cetera, and all of a sudden it clicks for you, boy, that might be an open door that God has for me to talk to them. In that moment, in the middle of that conversation, in your heart, in the silence, offer a secret prayer. Jesus, I know this may be an opportunity right here. Give me the right words to speak to point them towards you. Okay, so in the moment, offer up a secret prayer. So pray in the moment. This one won't be in your connection group study guides, but pray after the moment. Right? Pray after the moment. Just because a spiritual conversation or a conversation happened, and maybe the person wasn't like, oh, I'm so ready to give my life to Jesus in this moment. Just because that didn't happen doesn't mean it's the end of the story. Pray that other people would scatter seed into their life. Pray for further conversations. Pray that the conversation you had would ultimately lead that person to put their faith and trust in Jesus. Thank God for the opportunity. Thank Him for the courage to step into it. Pray for a follow-up conversation that maybe this will go a step further. So pray for the moment, pray about the moment, pray in the moment, and pray after the moment. All right? It's just practical things that we can do. Now, two other practical things. First of all, pray for specific people. Pray for specific people. We all know people around us, or we should all know people around us who are far from God, who as of yet are not following Jesus. Pray for them. Pray for them. We used to do this, we did this thing here at Portico called Oikos, and it was this idea where we would just recognize that there were, you know, a few handfuls of people that God put in our lives for impact and influence, and we would identify them and ask you to pray for them each and every day. That's a hard thing to do. It's been hard to keep up with, and so you're not really going to hear us talk about Oikos anymore, but that doesn't mean that the concept of us praying for people who don't know Jesus isn't important. We're kind of shifting our focus to this vital behavior of praying for a conversation each week because that's something we can easily pray about. But in the meantime, we should still be praying for people that we know who are far from God. Okay, so keep doing that. Also, pray for specific needs. As we see them, We should be praying for them. And I would recommend, ask permission from the person to be able to do that. You know, maybe you see someone in need and you say, you just offered them, hey, can I pray for this? I believe in God and that he hears the prayers of those who call out to him. Is it okay if I pray for you about that? You know, and I would ask you to consider this bold step. Pray for them right then and there. Ask if you can pray for them right then and there. A couple of reasons. One, they know you'll actually do it. You know, you won't just forget about it and it trails off and it's like 2 weeks later and, oh yeah, they had that appointment and I should pray about that now, even though it already happened. They know that you'll actually pray for them. They get to hear your prayers, and it's a powerful statement if it's something that God answers. Because they can look at that moment and say, I remember when you prayed for me. Here's what happened. And you can say, wow, that was God at work. So they will see there really is a God who answers prayer. Now, so those are a few practical ways that we'll put out to you this morning to regularly pray for God to open the door to spiritual conversation each week. Now, as we close, though, I want to share this illustration and leave you with this one thought. And so here's the illustration. I remember going to the grocery store when our kids were little, which is always an adventure, especially if you have more than one of them. But in the process of going to the store, you know, there was always one kid at least who'd want to help, right? So you go in, you grab the plastic basket because you just have a few things to carry out, and you go to pick up those items, and they'd be like, Dad, Dad, let me carry it. Let me carry it. Like, okay. So they'd take the basket, you know, take it down the aisle, no problem. Holding it up there, you know, just little, it's heavy, but I can do it. And so then you'd start to put things in the basket. Pretty soon that carrying the basket is practically dragging along the ground. When you get to like the dairy section and put a gallon of milk in there, hopeless, right? They have no chance whatsoever to carry this thing, but they're going to try, right? So they set the thing down, you put the milk in, and it's like, honey, I'll just carry that. No, Dad, I can do it. You know, I can't. And eventually they just be looking at me like, you're like, okay, how about I'll carry it? You can help, all right? I'll carry it. No, Dad, you just help me. You just help me. Okay. So you pick up the basket a little bit, and they, you know, you're doing all the work, really, and that's fine. You expected to do that. And they just, like, stick their little hands on it, do everything they can just to follow along. And the reason I bring up that is, you know, in reality, if it weren't for me, the parent, if it weren't for us as parents carrying that basket, there's no way that basket's going to move. It's just going to be sitting there on the ground because it was really all about my strength, not theirs. In so many ways, that's what reaching out to other people with the hope of Jesus is like. Right? We want someone to come to know the love of Jesus and the forgiveness that he offers. And we want to do all we can to point them toward him. But if it's all on our own effort, we can do all the right things, but nothing's going to happen without God doing the heavy lifting of this. He's the only one who can change their heart. He's the only one who can draw them to himself. We can't do that on our own, and that's why we need to pray. But here's the encouraging thing about that, and you can see this in the last verse in 1 Timothy 2:4 that we talked about earlier. When we pray for those who are not following Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God is a God who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. He desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So when we pray for people to come to know Jesus, when we pray for the chance to share the gospel, when we pray for the opportunity to engage other people in a spiritual conversation, we can be confident that that's what God wants too. He wants people to know Jesus and to find eternal life. That's his will. That's his desire. He desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not going to force it on anyone, but that's his will. So when we ask him about this, we can be confident he's listening. Right? He's listening. And not only is he listening, but he's working. He's on it. And that means that God, who is the creator of the universe, the one who made everything that exists by just the power of his words, the one who is all-powerful and without any limitation, the one who is able to do immeasurably more than we can think or even imagine, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, whose ways are higher than our ways, they're far above our ways, the one with whom anything is possible, that God is on the job when we pray. And we know that when it comes to sharing the gospel, we can't do the heavy lifting. Without him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We need him to be the one who moves the grocery basket. We just need to keep our hands on it and let him do his thing, because without him, that basket is not going to move. But that's why we pray. So let's take the challenge this week to begin to regularly pray for God to give us that opportunity to engage people in spiritual conversations. And we'll trust that he's going to do the work he needs to do and allow us to have a chance to step into that. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a God who desires all people to come to know you. You desire each and every one of us to know you in a very personal way. You desire that relationship with us. And you desire the people around us to come to know you as well. You want to use us to do that, but the hard work is really all you. It's not us. We do our part. We keep our hands on the basket, but you're the one who's doing the heavy lifting. And God, as we think about the people in our lives who are far from you, we ask for you to move. We ask for you to move in your power, with your spirit. And we know that it's your desire for them to come to know you. Draw them to yourself. Open up their hearts that they would come to receive Jesus, that they would come to know him. And God, help us to be people who are constantly seeking you, who are calling out to you on their behalf, who are praying for that opportunity, knowing and trusting that's your desire. You want this to take place. You've called us to do this. And God, we trust the results to you. We ask for your strength to step in courageously. Lord God, this morning as we go, help us to be people who are praying this, not just now and in this moment, but who are praying this each day. Because you want to do great things in this world, and you want to use us in that process. It's an amazing thing. So we want to surrender our hearts and our minds and our lives and our words to you. We commit this to you. We ask that you go before us this week. Help us to continue to notice the opportunities that are around us, but also to pray that they would be open doors for spiritual conversations. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.